What should I wear? I mean, that's a question we ask ourselves a lot, you know. And sometimes, you know, it matters what we wear, you know. And some of us are better at determining those occasions and those times and when it really matters. A few years after I finished college, one of my friends from college was getting married. And his parents had passed away when he was younger, so he had been on his own for a bit. So as we gathered a couple of days beforehand, those of us who were in the wedding party, one of the things he needed to get a new pair of sneakers. And so we went and we traveled, we went to the mall, and we picked out this nice white pair of sneakers. Then he began to think how, you know, he's wearing a white tux for the wedding. And so he thought, boy, it'd be far more comfortable if I wore those white sneakers, and probably more fitting for me to wear those white sneakers. So he asked us, you know, what do you think I could wear? So I gave him the great advice. I said, it's your wedding. If you want to wear sneakers, wear sneakers. Well, the next day, as I'm standing up there, the ceremony, standing there with him, I began to question that advice as I kind of glanced over at his soon-to-be mother-in-law and saw the expression on her face as she looked at his sneakers and kind of had this glare in looking at him. A few years later, I got married, and I also wore a white tux. I wore shoes. I do learn. I'm slow, but I learn. But what should I wear? I mean, and that's a question that we ask ourselves, some of us more than others. And there's different things we could wear on different occasions. You know, I think it's very fitting. If I'm going swimming, I may want some tubes. I don't think I'll need that many, but I may want some. So that's a possibility. You know, if I'm going trick-or-treating, you know, I'm going to dress a certain way for trick-or-treating. Or if I'm in the school band, you know, I don't always have a choice of what I'm going to wear. And maybe Dan likes hats, I'm not sure, you know, but we have these different things that are kind of set for us. You know, we wear some things when we're young that we don't have much choice over, you know. Our parents kind of do it, but we end up looking cute anyways, Ben, you know, so it's good, you know. But, you know, we wear some things when we're young and that we probably wouldn't wear when we're older, but then, again, maybe some of us would, you know. You never know. Sometimes we can show our creativity by what we wear and our talents and our abilities. Sometimes we show our creativities with the styles and the hats that we wear. You never know what youth group pictures are going to come back to haunt you, you know. And we see people wearing different things for teams that they root for, you know. They dress a certain way. And we even see this, you know, with different religions. You can kind of see what people follow and what group they're a part of. And so the question is, you know, what should a Christian wear? Is it something like this? Should we all be in robes? Or better still, maybe everyone would want one of these nice Julie Cremer original t-shirts that your young people got on their retreat. Maybe we should all dress in that way. And so the question is, what should you and I wear? What should we wear? What should we wear as someone who is a Christian, as someone who is a follower of Jesus Christ? And the Apostle Paul helps us to know what you and I should be wearing as followers of Jesus. And so I want to invite you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 12 to 14. And while you turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, this message this morning really stems a lot and is shaped in part and a lot by the words of Andy Stanley through his series Follow that we did some of it with the young people last weekend. And here in Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12, the Apostle Paul writes these words. He says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. The Apostle Paul tells us here what followers of Jesus are to clothe themselves with, what they are to wear. The Apostle Paul says that we're to clothe ourselves with compassion. And compassion is this deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is going through a difficult time. You know, the New Living Translation puts it tender-hearted mercies. The old King James puts a bowels of mercies, and the bowels, you know, being, you know, kind of that associated with the seat of our emotions, in particular of love. And so it's like, I want you to have this sympathy, to love with all your heart, to love with all your guts. And this is the type of compassion Paul's talking about when he says we're to clothe ourselves with compassion. You know, when so many of us heard the news of Addie's passing, you know, we felt it in our gut. We were broken. We were broken for the Nagel family. And we just had this desire to do whatever we could to help them through that time. And that's what compassion is. And the Apostle Paul says that we're to clothe ourselves with compassion. The Apostle Paul says that we're to clothe ourselves, he goes on, with kindness. He says, clothe yourselves with kindness. And kindness, again, is this sympathy, this concern, this understanding. But, you know, we're going to look at patience in a moment. And patience is kind of like this enduring thing, where kindness is an acting out. You know, it's an active thing, where you're doing something for others. When you see them having a need, they need something, and you go about doing something to meet that particular need. We have a great example of kindness being shown by King David. Back when he became king, and he was kind of established in his kingdom, and he began to ask the question, is there anyone left in Saul's family that I can show kindness to? And this is in 2 Samuel chapter 9. He says, is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness to for Jonathan's sake? And remember, Jonathan and David had this close relationship. And so here he finds out that Jonathan had a son who was still living, Mephibosheth. And he was lame, and he couldn't walk. And so David calls for him. Then down in verse 7 it says, David said to him, don't be afraid, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table. And David extends this kindness to Jonathan's son, to Mephibosheth. And God wants us to extend kindness. He wants to clothe ourselves with kindness because he is kind. Jesus says that God is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. You see, our kindness has no limits. He doesn't say, okay, you could be kind to certain people. God says we're to be kind to all people because he is kind to all people. God says through Jeremiah, he says, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts about this, that he understands me, that I am the Lord, and I delight in showing kindness and justice and mercy. He says, in these things I delight. God delights in showing kindness. And as God shows kindness to us, he wants us to clothe ourselves with showing kindness to other people. And then Paul writes here to the Colossians. He says you need to clothe yourselves not only with compassion, not only with kindness. I want you to clothe yourselves with humility. Warren Wiersbe makes this statement about humility. He says, the person with humbleness of mind thinks of others first and not of himself. The Apostle Paul writes these words to the Philippians. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And I am to look to the interests of others. And that's part of what is when I have humility. Because humility is seeing myself accurately in my relationship with other people and with God. You know, it's having that correct view of myself. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Romans, says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to, but think with sober judgment. The New Living Translation puts it this way, don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. And I'm to have this honest evaluation of myself, and that's what humility does. It causes me to view myself honestly and accurately as far as my relationship with other people and with God. Andy Stanley makes this statement. He says, the accurate view of myself in relationship to other people is that I am nothing more than a citizen of humanity, just like the rest of you. There is equality among human beings, but the thing that makes you special and the thing that makes me special isn't that you have more money or you have more talent or I have more opportunity or you were born into a better family. What makes you special is the very same thing that makes me special, that we are loved by God the Father. See, what Paul is saying is don't think you're better than other people. Don't think you're better than other people because you're the captain of your team. Don't think you're better than other people because you sit first chair in the band and the instrument that you play. Don't think that you're better than other people because you got the lead part in a play. Don't think you're better than other people because you just have all this talent. Don't think you're better than other people because you have this prestigious job where you have authority over all these people or you make more money. Don't think you're better than other people because when you walk into the room, there's no question that you are the best looking person in the room. He says, that's not what makes you special. The thing that makes you special is that you are loved and created by God. And the thing that makes you special is the same thing that makes everyone else special. That we are loved deeply and unconditionally about God. That's having humility. That's viewing yourself correctly. I'm special. We're all special because God loves us unconditionally and deeply. And so when I clothe myself with humility, that's going to cause me to treat you with the respect and with the honor and with the care that you deserve to be treated with. Paul says, clothe yourself. What you're to wear humility. Paul then goes on to add of qualities we're to control ourselves with. He says, we're to clothe ourselves with. He says, clothe yourselves. I want you to put on gentleness. Now, we looked at some of these qualities last week. And so I have this little video clip that we're gonna show to help us understand what gentleness is. Okay, so here's a good illustration of gentleness. Because, you know, gentleness, we often think of gentleness as weakness. But gentleness is not weakness. It is power under control. It's like a tamed horse. Now, some of the young people know that I'm afraid of horses, you know. And I'm not afraid to be near a horse, but there's no way I'm getting on it. I blame Pastor Albie for that. Because when I was a little kid, he got injured by a horse. And so I still remember him coming up to preach with his crutches. And So I think it's your fault that I'm scared of horses, but probably not. But I'm by them, you know, I just see how powerful, you know, you just see how strong they are, and I'm just amazed by that, and it's frightening. Yeah, I don't know how Kaylee and the others ride these things. You know, I'm afraid of them. But then you look at a wild horse, you know, and you look at a tame horse. They're both just as powerful as each other, but that tamed horse has that power under control. And that's what gentleness is. It's having that power under control. Because see, there's an element that gentleness carries with it, of this idea that I'm not to be overly impressed by my own importance. And so gentleness, it's not me trying to show off how powerful I am. So if you care to think back to that little video, you think of, you hold your newborn baby differently than you hold your five-year-old child. You hold them differently. I mean, you play with your 14-year-old differently than you play with your 4-year-old. You know, as my boys got older, we played, it got a little bit rougher, you know, because I adjusted my strength to them. And so it's like, you know, kids used to do a lot of wrestling in the youth group. Maybe they don't do as much because they realize I'm old and they may break me. But you know, back in the day when I would wrestle with the senior hires, I mean, it was different than wrestling with the junior hires. You know, it took It took just as much effort, really, with the junior hires. Because the junior hires, the senior high, they were big enough. You could just knock them around. It'd be okay. The junior hires, you had, they were smaller, so you had to be, half the battle was trying not to hurt them as you wrestle. And that's what gentleness is. It's approaching your object and handling your object based on their strength, not on your own. You know, it's like when I coach, you know, I could have a player, I could have two players make the exact same mistake in the game. And I will respond, I may have to respond to them differently. You know, a player that has a lot of experience, who's very confident, I might be able to get right up in their face like, what in the world were you doing? You know, what were you thinking? So another player, I may have to kind of be a little more gentle about it. And so Paul says that we need to have we need to clothe ourselves with gentleness. I adjust my approach based on the object that I'm dealing with, or the person I'm dealing with. Paul says we need to be gentle even in our discipline. He says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Paul tells us as followers of Jesus, we need to clothe ourselves with gentleness. Then Paul goes on to say that we need to clothe ourselves with patience. Just because you enjoyed that last video so much, here's another one for you. There's someone that deserves a crown, let me tell you. But patience, you know, is putting up with others even when you're tired from a retreat. You know, is this putting up with them. You know, some would say that I'm an impatient driver. You know, and sometimes I struggle with going at the pace of the person in front of me. And so sometimes I may get a little closer to that person in front of me than they probably would want me to. Sometimes they pull over, which delights me, you know. Other times they don't, you know. But I feel like I'm getting a little bit better. I'm becoming a little more patient as a driver. You know, I'm being a little more willing to go at the pace of the driver in front of me. And that's kind of what patience is. It's going at the pace of the other person. It's going at their pace and not my own. And Paul says you need to clothe yourselves with that patience. You need to be, you know, put up with some things, and you need to be patient and go at the pace of the other person. And it's hard because, you know, we live in this fast-paced world. And I'm someone who doesn't like to get to places early, so I time it so I'm getting there right on time. And if someone's driving slow, that's where I become very impatient, you know. But I need to learn to go at the pace of the other person. That's how we need to deal with things in life. You need to go at the other person's pace. Because again, God is patient with us. He wants us to be patient with one another. Then Paul, again in this passage in Colossians, goes on to say, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Paul says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. He says, he doesn't say forgive as other people forgive you. He says, forgive as God has forgiven you. He says the same thing in his letter to the Ephesians. Forgive as God has forgiven you. And Paul could have said that about any of these qualities, because these are all qualities that God possesses and that he wants us to clothe ourselves with. So Paul is saying here, I want you to be compassionate as God has been compassionate to you. I want you to be kind as God has been kind to you. I want you to be humble as God has shown humility and humbleness to you as he sent and had his son humble himself upon the cross. I want you to be gentle as God has been gentle with you. I want you to be patient as God has been patient with you. I want you to forgive others as God has forgiven you. And then Paul kind of wraps it all up and says, and over all these virtues, over all these qualities, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Paul says, put on love. You put on love, you're going to be putting on all these qualities of compassion, of kindness, of humility, of patience, of gentleness, of being willing to forgive. Because Paul's teaching here. He's teaching all of this stems from Jesus' teaching of how we're to be treating one another. Jesus said on the night in which he was betrayed, he's with his disciples, he says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." And so Paul here in this passage in Colossians is kind of helping us to really see what it looks like to love like Jesus loves. If I love like Jesus loves, I'm going to be compassionate. If I love like Jesus loves, I'm going to be kind. If I love like Jesus loves, I'm going to show a humility. If I love like Jesus loves, I'm going to show patience. I'm going to show gentleness. I'm going to be willing to forgive. And Paul helps us see what that love is to look like. And then Jesus goes on to say to his disciples, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." By this, everyone's going to know. If you love like this, everyone's going to know that you're with me. Now, when I was young, I had a lot of weird thoughts. I still do today. But one of my weird thoughts when I was young was that I thought, what if there's someone in this world that looks exactly like me? And they come to my family and they say that they're really me. How will my folks know I'm the real Dave? I'm sure it's thoughts that you all have had as well, you know? And so I didn't really think through it, you know, because I'm sure there were different quirks that I have that my parents would have known right away, saying this can't be the real Dave because this guy doesn't go to the bathroom enough, you know? Or this can't be the real Dave because we just watched this news report on this new rare disease and they listed the symptoms and he's not panicking thinking he has that disease. But I didn't think of those things. I started looking at my body and thinking, all right, what distinguishing mark do I have that's going to prove that I am the real Dave, that show my true identity, that I'm the real one? And so, as some of you could tell, you know, I have a couple freckles. And so I found this weird-looking freckle on my leg. And some of you may think all of them are kind of weird, but there was this one in particular that was just a little bit different. I thought, all right, there's no way a double is going to have that freckle there. Then I found another mark. I think, this is great. If my double ever shows up and tries to infiltrate my family, I'm gonna show these marks and show my true identity. Of course, it never dawned on me to let my parents know ahead of time that I had these marks, you know, to begin with. But Jesus says in this passage, everyone's gonna know that you're my follower by your love for one another. The distinguishing mark that you and I are to have is that we love each other. And that we love each other with that compassion, with that kindness, with that humility, with that gentleness, with that patience. He says, that's the thing that's going to mark you as my follower. That's going to identify you as my follower by your love for one another. As you clothe yourself with that love. You know, that's hard to do. It's hard to clothe yourself with that kind of love. Down through the years, I come to notice that I found a few people that don't like me. I really kind of find that hard to believe, you know, but there's some people that just haven't seemed to like me, or in my opinion at least, they seem like they've been mean to me. And so I found myself, and they seemed like even mean to my family, so I found myself at times thinking bad about these people. And, you know, I found myself talking behind their backs, you know, and going to people and say, can you believe that this person would say this or do this? Then all of a sudden, God started convicting me. He started challenging me and saying, Dave, you know, you're settling. You're settling to love like other people love. My command to you is you're to love like I love. And he began to show me that I really wasn't following him as closely as he wants me to. I really wasn't as close to Jesus as I thought because I wasn't doing the very thing that he says is going to mark me as one of his. That's going to distinguish me as his. You know, we all have our checklist to think, you know, how we're doing with Jesus. I went to church, check. You know, I read my Bible, check. I prayed, check. I went to small group, check. I helped in the nursery, check, 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 you know. And all these things are great. You know, and keep doing them. But if Jesus says the distinguishing outfit that I'm to wear, the thing that I'm to be wearing is to be how I treat other people, then that needs to be on my checklist for how I'm doing with Jesus. You know, the disciple John, one of Jesus' closest friends when he was here. He writes in 1 John, he says, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love his brother and sister. And John is like saying, don't say how much you love God, how close you are to God, if you can't love these other people. You're not loving other people. And so one of the things on my checklist needs to be, how am I treating my family? How am I treating my friends? How am I treating my coworkers? How am I treating my classmates? How am I treating those who don't treat me that well? How am I treating other people? Because Jesus says, what we're to clothe ourselves with, the distinguishing outfit that you and I are to be wearing, is love. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Romans, he says, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. If I clothe myself with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to be clothing myself with compassion. I'm going to be clothing myself with kindness. I'm going to be clothing myself with humility. I'm going to be clothing myself with gentleness. I'm going to be clothing myself with patience. I'm going to be clothing myself with this forgiving attitude. I'm going to be clothing myself with love. That's what we are to wear. So the question is, what are you wearing? Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for the way that you have shown your compassion, your patience, your gentleness, your kindness, your forgiveness, and your love to each and every one of us. We've been reminded so clearly today as we gathered around your table and remembered specifically what you have done for us and bringing us into this new life with you. And we thank you for that. And Father, we recognize that you want us to be clothed with those same qualities. So I ask that you would help us. I ask that we be clothed with our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray.